we were talking, and as Wilfred mentioned, is about a missions project that God had for the prophet Jonah. When God pronounces judgment, it's not just purely for judgment's sake. It is really towards an end goal of letting people know what is important and calling people back to repentance. So God could proclaim, you know, if you don't repent, then these things are going to happen. But it's an opportunity for people to repent. It's not just to condemn people. Truth be told, we often take advantage of God's goodness. You know, when something happens to us, something bad happens to us, we often say, oh, why is God punishing me? But in reality, when we have all our blessings, very rarely do we profusely thank God in the way that we are angry with Him when things go wrong. The reason is because our view of God is quite small. That is why people on the outside are not attracted to our God. They view our God as just one of many gods. One time somebody asked me to go to their house and pray for the house because they were having some, they thought was demonic disturbance. And then I said, well, who's been here praying? He said, oh, I called a Buddhist monk to pray. I said, why did you call the Buddhist monk? And then he called me to come. Oh, we just thought that, you know what, one may be greater than the other. The more, the merrier. You know, call all the other gods and probably one would be right. Well, I said, God doesn't work that way. But it is a symptom of our way of viewing God. We think God is small. That's why we don't rely on God. We rely on ourselves. But in reality, I believe that the reason we see God as small is because we've never actually seen Him do anything in our lives. At one point in time, we received Jesus. At one point in time, we had an emotional experience about God. But that's kind of far away. And so we don't see Him as somebody that is sustaining in our lives. It's very interesting because then we live our Christian life and we don't see God doing anything the rest of the week. The 2 hours we're here in church, or 3 hours, wherever however many hours, we see God sort of, you know, moving here. We have an emotional experience, maybe through the songs or through the message. But other than that, we don't see God doing much. But the Bible talks a lot about people having experiences with God. And that's what we're going to be exploring. We're going to be looking at prayer, but not the way that you would think prayer will be. We'll be looking at prayer from some people. For example, today we'll look a little bit with Isaiah, and then I'll continue on with Isaiah. Then we'll look at Abraham. We'll look at Moses, Daniel, Jacob, Hannah, King David. Now, these people are giants in the Bible, but their lives are not giants. They fail. They fall. They had a lot of problems. They sin. But they have something that you and I should want, and that is intimacy with God. Today, I tell people that our problem is not that God is too small. It's that our vision of God is myopic. Prayer is a way for us to learn about God. Prayer is a gift that is given to us. But I want to change our way of looking at prayer. That it's not just about, God, give me this, 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 and this. I thank you for this, but please make all these things happen. Please allow me to win the lotto, 1 out of 450 trillion chances. Doesn't matter, you know. No, it's not about God. God is about intimacy. In our small groups, we will be looking at God again. Now, I want to ask all our men to stay after the service because we need to get ourselves in order. I know the women's groups are doing very well. I think the men just need a little bit of help. Okay, so men, after the service, please stay. Because in your bulletins are the study questions. So we have two ways of learning. One way, you'll hear on Sunday morning, and then in your small group, you interact with the material, and I add some other things in there so that we can learn about it. Today, I want to introduce the background of our first character, Isaiah, because it's Missions Month. And we're going to look at his prayer in Isaiah chapter 6. Most of us know that verse. Who shall go for me? Here I am, send me. Next Sunday, we have a special missionary, and our field missionaries will also be here to share, and then we will go on and go through our series. So let's pray together. Father, we thank you because you have shown a way so that we can have intimacy with you. And we pray this morning that you show us, clarify for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the title of the series is Can You Hear Me Now? Most of you remember it, as Wilfred did. It was a Verizon ad, although this guy who was with the Verizon ad now changed, right? He's with Sprint. And he say, I used to say, can you hear me now? But now you can go cheaper and you can still hear. But the question we all have is, can you hear God? Right? We want to know, can we hear God? As we saw in Jonah, God was very clear in telling him what he wanted him to do. But he didn't want to do it. The people we will be looking at in Scripture, they fumble, they bungle, they fall, they fail, they struggle. They fall into temptation, they sin. Some of them repent, some of them do not repent. One thing is steady, is that they serve a very big God. Today we will look at the background for the prayer. And this is the story of King Uzziah. So, let's look at this story. Follow along as I read in 2 Chronicles 26. All the people of Judah had crowned Amaziah's 16-year-old son Uzziah as king in place of his father. Remember, Judah is the southern kingdom. Israel is the northern kingdom. So this is the chosen kingdom of God. Jesus is in the line of Judah. David is in the line of Judah, and so it continues on. After his father's death, Uzziah rebuilt the town of Elath and restored it to Judah. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother was Jecoliah from Jerusalem. You know what? The chronicler, the one who wrote 2 Chronicles, we don't know who he is, but we call him the chronicler. That's why it's called 2 Chronicles. Wrote down twice that Uzziah was 16 years old. Now we know that a 16-year-old king is a king that is probably quite young and quite immature. But yet, he reigned for 53 years. This was a good king. Right? Because he lasted that long. But again, twice, the writer says he was 16 years old. We know that's something good. How was he good? Verse 4, he did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his father Amaziah had done. Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah, who was a priest and a prophet, who taught him to fear God. And as long as the king sought guidance from the Lord, God gave him success. Bunch of good qualities, even at a very young age. He did the right things before God. He learned from religious leaders, from the right religious leaders. He sought guidance from God, and he was rewarded with success by this God. Furthermore, Uzziah declared war on the Philistines and broke down the walls of Gath, Jabna, and Ashdod. Moving to verse 7, God helped him in his wars against the Philistines, his battles with the Arabs of Gur, and the wars with the Meunites. The Meunites paid annual tribute to him, and his fame spread even to Egypt, for he had become very powerful. This is the king that you want to be part of. And you see the direct correlation between his seeking God and his fame and his power. He was successful because God helped him. Furthermore, we see what happens after this. Uzziah built fortified towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the angle in the wall. He also constructed forts in the wilderness and dug many water cisterns because he kept great herds of livestock in the foothills of Judah and on the plains. He was also a man who loved the soil and had many workers who cared for his farms and vineyards, both on the hillsides and in the fertile valleys. Not only Uzziah was a wonderful king, he was a wonderful warrior. He won so many things, but he was also a builder. And he was also an agriculturist. And so he was everything that anybody could hope for. Wonderful king. Started at age 16, lasted for 53 years. We're going to skip and go to verse 13. The army consisted of 307,500 men, all elite troops. They were prepared to assist the king against any enemy. You see, 300,000 troops that were loyal to the king. Rare do we find that. Uzziah provided the entire army with shields, spears, helmets, coat of nails, bows, and sling stones. Now, this was written here because I'll tell you why. In an army, it's very hard to afford all of these things. And if an army is there, you know, they used to have wars by brute human force. That means you just charge as much as you can, and hopefully you overtake the other side. And so many of them do not have bows, coat of nails, slings, arrows, swords, helmets. Not everybody has them. Those who are in front have them because that's the attackers. The ones who are on the back, whatever you could find, you just bring. But he was actually very rich, and his army was top-notch. Each of them had all these instruments of war with them. Verse 15, his fame spread far and wide, for the Lord gave him marvelous help, and he became very powerful. Isn't that wonderful to have a king like that? Now, this is Spider-Man comics. If you've ever watched Spider-Man comics, there is a phrase that is said, supposedly attributed to his uncle Ben. Anybody remember that phrase? With great power comes great responsibility. You can actually read that on that text box on the upper. Okay. Great power, there must also come great responsibility. Now, I want to modify that a little bit. Is that great blessings come with great responsibility? We may not have great power, but we have great responsibilities. But something happened to Uzziah. But this is a word that's always going to trick all of us. But when he had become powerful, he also became proud, which led to his downfall. He sinned against the Lord his God by entering the sanctuary of the Lord's temple and personally burning incense on the incense altar. You remember another king who did that? Anybody remember? King Saul did the same thing. He waited for Samuel. He couldn't wait. He went in and he burned incense. Now, in the old days, in the days of this era, there is today we call the separation of church and state. Kings go to war. And so God says, because you guys go to war and you lead wars, your hands are bloody. So you stay outside the temple. Those that are inside the temple are those that have been consecrated full-time, doing sacrifices, burning incense for the Lord. They are officially the priests. And so we have this situation where, you know, he just decided he wanted to do what the priest does. In fact, it's even more different than Saul. Saul was in a panic because the enemies were coming and Samuel has not arrived yet. Samuel told him he was going to be there and he hasn't arrived yet. At least he was in a panic. This guy just did it because he wanted to do it, because he can do it. That's very scary when that happens. Azariah, the high priest, went in after him with 80 other priests of the Lord, all brave men. Let me say something about this. Azariah, the priest, found out that the king was burning incense. He took 80 of his priests and went in. That was very risky, okay? Because priests are men of peace. Kings are men of war, and we see that happen. They confronted King Uzziah and said, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. This is the work of the priests alone, the descendants of Aaron who are set apart for this work. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have sinned. The Lord God will not honor you for this." Very bold, very bold. Uzziah, who was holding an incense burner, caught in the act, became furious. You know already what was going to happen. The king had the power to kill all the priests. Several generations before this, a similar incident happened to David. David wasn't the king at that time. He was a trusted servant of Saul. Saul was pursuing him. And David went, he was hungry and his men were hungry, and they went to Ahimelech the priest. And when he went into the temple, of course he lied to him. He said, "Why are you here? And why are you alone?" David said, "Oh, you know, I'm on a secret mission from Saul." But he was hungry. And he says, "Do you have any bread?" So Ahimelech the priest said, "You know what? We only have the bread that was dedicated to God. But you're free to have it if your men have been clean." And so he did that and he served David. And then David said, "Do you have any sword?" And he says, "The sword that you killed Goliath with is here. You can take that." So he took it. And when Saul found out, Saul called 85 of the priests, including Ahimelech. Now he says, "Why did you help David?" Of course, Ahimelech didn't know that there was this feud going on. Ahimelech said, "Look, that's your most loyal servant. Of course I served him." King Saul killed all 85 priests. And I'm sure the priests who were here remembered exactly what happened there. And so you look at this and you say, these priests were bold. They wanted to make sure that God was honored. And they confronted this man who was so proud. God in his mercy spared all the priests, because here's what happened. But as he was standing there raging at the priests before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy suddenly broke out on his forehead. When Azariah, the high priest, and all the other priests saw the leprosy, they rushed him out, and the king himself was eager to get out because the Lord had struck him. There would have been two major offenses. Number one, the king, who was not supposed to be taking the incense, the priests who were almost to be killed, and number two, the leprosy made the whole temple unclean. That's why he had to be ushered out. You know, if he had any other disease, it would have been okay. But because the disease happened exactly at the time that he was sinning, there was no question that it was because he sinned. Now we get to this point. So King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in isolation in a separate house, for he was excluded from the temple of the Lord. His son Jotham was put in charge of the royal palace, and he governed the people of the land. Can you imagine somebody who for 60 some years did right in the eyes of the Lord, and then to fall in the end in such a manner? With great blessings come great responsibility. It was wonderful, all the accomplishments that I showed you, all the verses we read, how wonderful he was as a king. But then, the very end, to be a failure. Recently, there's been some spectacular failures in the Christian church. And all it is, it breaks our heart. Somebody who's led a church that had 24,000 people. 24,000 people wrote books at leadership conferences where 13, 15 different sites all over the world, and was forced to resign because of improper behavior. And that was what he will be remembered for. Not for anything he's done. It'll always be this coda, this asterisk that will be part of it. And we see that right here, even in Chronicles. The rest of the events of Uzziah's reign, from beginning to end, are recorded by the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos. That's the guy we will be looking at. But this story is so important because it gives the backdrop when God appears to Isaiah. Because I'm sure he mourned for Isaiah. I mean, Isaiah mourned for this king Uzziah for what he had done. He recorded all these good things. And in the final analysis, here's what Uzziah is known for. When Uzziah died, he was buried with his ancestors. His grave was in a nearby burial field belonging to the kings. For the people said, he had leprosy. Can you imagine that? Whenever you talk about King Uzziah, oh yeah, he did. Well, he had leprosy. But what about all of these? Well, he had leprosy. But what about it? Well, he had leprosy. That's the last statement of his life. And so, Isaiah, the prophet, was the prophet who recorded all these things, and he recorded these words, he had leprosy. But you see, God is not finished. Because in the worst possible time, God wanted to appear to Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 6, we read the following. In the year that King Uzziah died, right? We saw that. He died. Isaiah recorded everything. But in the year that he died, Isaiah says in the first person, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, angels, each with six wings, and two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Can you imagine if you were Isaiah? And you were so discouraged by what happened. And the Lord says, here, I want to appear to you. Where are you at in your story of life? Are you at the end where there's certain things that are embarrassing in your life that you really are having problems with? You know, it's time to come back. It would have been good if it was recorded for Uzziah that he's the one who saw the glory of the Lord. But we don't have any indication of that. Because in the end, the one thing we remember about Uzziah was that he had leprosy. But thank God for Isaiah, who was able to see the glory of the Lord. And church, this is what I long for all of us to have, a glimpse of the glory of the Lord. Because I guarantee you, if you have an intimate experience with God, he becomes real to you. But more importantly, you will begin to see miracles happen in your life. And I know some of you talk to me And I've seen that happen. You've seen that happen. And I'm excited for you. But I would for all of us to be able to see how big God is. That at a certain point we are praying and all of a sudden this vision of God, the whole earth is full of His glory. And then God speaks to Isaiah and Isaiah replies. That's the kind of prayer. And this is the prayer that we see many of the characters in Scripture have. They were all flawed characters. All of them failed spectacularly. But all of them worship a big God. We will fail. But we worship a big God. And we should experience that. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You because You are a big God. We worship a big God. We may fail. We may sin. We may bungle. But yet, Lord, You remain faithful. And You call us to continue to be faithful. Because You want to show how big You are to us. And I pray for us, Lord, that through this journey of prayer, that we understand how big You are. Thank You, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.